The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen, until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So Jesus takes those three favorites, Peter, James, and John, up the mountain with him. And there we get the transfiguration. This is the scripture we always read as we're headed into Lent. This is the end of the season of the Epiphany, when throughout the season we're reading scriptures that remind us exactly who Jesus is, starting with the what we call the revelation of Christ to the Gentiles, otherwise known as the wise men coming. We start there, where you get Gentiles who are worshiping God, and we end here with the transfiguration, which is headed into Lent. And this miraculous thing happens on the mountain. Jesus begins to shine. His clothes are dazzling white, such as no one could bleach them, Mark tells us. And Moses and Elijah appear with him, representing the law and the prophets. And Peter, not knowing what to say, but not being able to keep his mouth shut, goes with the, "Hey, let's make three dwellings," or three booths, or three tabernacles, as different translations call it different things. And then the voice comes. "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Now we know elsewhere in Scripture it says, "With him I am well pleased," but this time he's making a point. Listen to him. Which begs the question, what did he say? What did Jesus say? Any guesses? Anyone want to share? Well, he said, as you can imagine, a lot. Flipping through any red letter Bible will show you that. Out of curiosity, as I got thinking about what it is we're supposed to listen to this week, I went through all four Gospels to see what it is that he said, to remind myself what it is we are supposed to listen to. And I want to take just a few minutes this morning to share some of that with you, to remind all of us what it is we are supposed to act on when God says, "Listen to him." Of course, Jesus talked a lot about discipleship. He said the words, "Follow me," 21 times in the Gospels. Sometimes it was a simple, "Follow me." Sometimes it was, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." But it often was very demanding, aimed more at the general populace than just those 12 who he called. He says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." These are some demanding words. He addressed distractions. He told one man to follow him, and the man said, "First, let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God." This is the call of a disciple. Another distraction. One man said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus, of course, had a response. He said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service to the kingdom of God." That is, you got to leave that behind. It's time to follow and have a singular focus. And he talked about a relationship with the world in many ways. He said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. This is the commitment he's calling for. Humility he wants. Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you, he is the greatest. To be a disciple is to be humble, to have that relationship. He also surely connected it with stewardship time and again. That is, a relationship with material wealth. Which gets placed higher, our discipleship or our relationship with wealth? Wealth, he says to one man, you lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Well, the man had many possessions. And scriptures tell us he was shocked and went away grieving. He did not follow. Jesus was demanding. This is my son, God says. Listen to him. Jesus talked a lot about stewardship itself. He talked about greed. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in abundance of his possessions. Here we go again, setting up that relationship with God versus our relationship with material wealth. Put your treasure where it belongs. He says, sell your possessions and give it to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exalted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Are we acting on these things? No servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. This was his number one topic to talk and preach about. More than the kingdom, more than prayer, more than the resurrection, but about our relationship with material wealth. How hard it is, he said, for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I would suggest that in Jesus' terms, we are all extraordinarily rich. He tells us to care for the poor and the sick and the persecuted, even when he is getting ready to feed the 5,000 who represent a very hungry population. He says to the disciples, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. He says, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Serve the poor and the needy, and the crippled, the lame, the blind. And why? Oh, he tells a wonderful story about that. Talking about a king and the people sitting at his right and his left. He says, you that are accursed, depart from me into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these at the king's left will go away into eternal punishment, Jesus says, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus is demanding. This is my son, God said. Listen to him. He said some frightening things about judgment, the end times. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have come to bring a sword. This is my son. Listen to him. When he talked to us and his disciples about faith and belief and doubt and repentance and these spiritual things, he said often, you'll recall, to those who are healed, your faith has made you well. It's a common theme, faith connected to healing. But to his disciples, he constantly was asking things like, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Don't be afraid, just believe. He challenged his disciples. Who do you say that I am? not others. Who do you say? This is a question all of us must answer. He talked about repentance. There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. He taught us the Lord's Prayer. They asked him, teach us to pray. And he said, when you pray, say, Our Father. He taught them about the commandments, which is the greatest, he said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. We all know these. He talked about the ramifications of sin. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go to hell where the fire never goes out. He talked about how we are lived with others. He said, if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. He had a lot to say about how we get along to each other. About humility again. He said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. We must, he says, put others ahead of us. And he talked about our enemies. I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. Hard way to live with people, isn't it? Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. He also showed time and again his support for women well and above the norms that that culture established. This is my son, God said. Listen to him. As I go through the scriptures and read these, I find that most of the things that Jesus had to say were very demanding, either of specific people in the scriptures or to his disciples, which means us. But there are also many words of comfort. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to Jesus. For two or three come together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. There's confidence in Jesus. Jesus spoke to the power of God, saying, for mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. He often encouraged his disciples to prayer. He said, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Concerning the children, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Perhaps the greatest words of love were the words he said at the Last Supper. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. No greater words of love, because they foreshadow what was to come, the sacrifice he would make. This is my son, God said. Listen to him. We can't listen to him if we don't know what he said, if we don't pay attention to what he said. He left us a few commandments. As I noted, he left us the, what are often called the two great commandments, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's a third great commandment, however, which sometimes gets overlooked. He said to them, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is my son, God said, listen to him. Too often we don't. Jesus himself said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. If you uphold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And it's only by paying attention, I think, ultimately, in the end, that we can fulfill what was Jesus' final command. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. This is my Son, God said. Listen to him. Amen.